Now we have come in this little book of Obadiah down to verse 15. There are actually not but 21 verses in the entire book, by the way. And that means that there are actually not very many verses at all in the book. It is, as we've indicated, the briefest book in the Old Testament. Now, we've seen that this is the judgment of Edom, destruction of the nation in the first 16 verses here. And we saw in the first 9 verses God's charge against Edom. The charge against Edom was pride of heart, an attitude of life that declared its ability to live without God. And God says he hates that. Then the crime of Edom in verses 10 to 14, because an attitude of life leads to actions, and you have a catalog of actions from verses 10 through 14, and we looked at those last time. Now we come today first to see the catastrophe that came to Edom in verses 15 and 16. Now, will you note this, because this, I think, is a rather important section and just a little difficult. It says, "For the day of the Lord is upon all nations." Now, this looks forward to the day of the Lord. And again, this is, as we have attempted to show from the Word of God, is a technical expression that covers a period of time beginning with the great tribulation period. We are living today in the day of grace or the day of Christ. And the emphasis today is where the Holy Spirit takes the things of Christ and shows them unto us. Now, after the church is removed, the day of the Lord begins. He begins to move in judgment. God's day begins with the night, always, the evening and the morning with the first day, the second day, so on, so that it begins with the darkness and the judgment of the great tribulation period. And then finally, the Son of Righteousness rises with healing in his wings, and that's the coming of the Lord Jesus to the earth to establish his kingdom here upon the earth. And at that time, there will be certain nations that are going to enter into the kingdom. You remember in the Olivet Discourse that we're told all nations will be gathered before him. Now, very frankly, I want to say that it's not quite clear to me whether these ancient nations of the past that have long since disappeared, whether they will be raised for a judgment as a nation at that time, or will it be at the judgment of the great white throne? Now, very frankly, I find that commentators, I have one book before me, and it's a very fine book, and it says in one place that Edom is to be utterly destroyed, and then again, he says that it will again be raised up in the last days of world history, and it speaks of Edom. Well, I believe that Edom will become a nation. And this is now my private viewpoint, my private interpretation. And I'm sure you've discovered by now that anything that I go out on a limb on, you better not go out with me because it may break off. But I'm of the opinion that when he mentions here, the day of the Lord is near upon all nations, that it means that Edom will become a nation during the end times. They have now disappeared as a nation. Well, somebody says, could that happen? Well, it sure happened to the nation Israel. For 2,500 years, they were not a nation. And now they've become a nation. They've had problems, but they've become a nation. Now, for the day of the Lord is near upon all the nations. And how are you going to interpret all the nations? Well, I interpret it as meaning all the nations. And that the day of the Lord is the day that many of these ancient nations are going to come back into existence again. I think that is something that the Word of God, I believe, makes rather clear to us. And you see, a nation is responsible to God and the people of a nation. Now, many of you who've been with us from the beginning, you will recall that when we were in the book of Deuteronomy, in the 21st chapter there, God gave a very unusual law. He said that when a man has been found slain out on the highway, then you are to measure what city is closest to that slain man, and that city is responsible for the man. They are to take over the case, attempt to find out who did it. In other words, that city is responsible. Now, I think that is a great principle that God has put down, that you and I today as Christians, we can talk about our citizenship is in heaven, and the head of the church is there, that's true, but the feet of the church is right down here where we live today, and we do have a responsibility as a citizen of the nation that we are members of, and we should exert that influence for God as much as we possibly can. And I don't mean to say by that that the Christian is to jump into politics, but I am of the opinion that God could use a great many more real born-again Christians in politics today. Someone has said it's become so dirty that no Christian could get involved in it. Well, I think you could. I believe that you could do that if a man like Lot could get involved in the politics of Sodom, which he did. He was a judge sitting in the gate. I'm of the opinion that the real born-again Christian who's willing to stand on his two feet and be counted could be used of God today in government. And therefore, nations are responsible to God. Now, this doesn't mean that he's judging nations on the basis of whether they accept or reject Christ as a nation, because there's never been a nation yet that has accepted Christ wholeheartedly. I think it's always been a mistake to speak of certain nations as being Christian nations. It's quite true that the church has had a great influence on a nation like England and on our nation today. But there never was a time when it could be said that either one of these nations were Christian nations. And certainly both are very far from God today. So the day of the Lord is near upon all the nations. And I believe that this nation that God destroyed, they're out of business today. I mean, that prophecy has been literally fulfilled. The question is, are they going to come back during the day of the Lord? I think so. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward will return upon thine own head. Now, actually, what happened to this nation was this. Edom, as we have indicated in this study, was finally captured by Babylon. They did it by getting spies on the inside of that very impregnable fortress city. And they were taken about the same time that Israel was taken. And actually, in the end time, we are going to find that Edom will again be on the scene in the end times. And there are certain references to that. And I'm not going to turn to them today, but Isaiah 63, 1 and 6, for instance, which definitely refers to the future. That is a reference to it, that they will be around. And they were, of course, destroyed by Babylon, but the Maccabees also subjugated them. And then finally, the Romans came, and when they destroyed Jerusalem in 70 A.D., why, at that time, Edom disappeared from the world scene as a nation and has not been heard of since then. But they are to be brought back again. And we find that by the time, though, you get to the millennium, it looks as if they have not yet made the world scene. But they will be again on the scene of world history. Now, let me read on from there. As you can see, this is a debatable point, and I would not care to debate it or argue it with anyone, because it is one of the many points that are in the Scripture that we can't be too clear on, because, after all, what is the importance of this to you and me today? If I find out that Edom is going to be around during the millennium, while I'll be happy, if they're not around, I'm still going to be happy, because I know God is working this out according to His own plan and purpose.